Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
On Christmas Day, we discussed the importance of seeking objective truth and how crucial it is to avoid being deceived by our own finite, fallen, limited human perspective. We established the fact that we must build our lives on the rock of absolute truth, the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. We considered his creation and his objective, absolute, heavenly perspective by contemplating the 10 million, billion, billion stars in the known universe, as well as those magnificent words found in the Gospel of John that reveal our Lord and our God already was before the creation of space and time. In the beginning was the Word. Finally, by considering all that Jesus gave up at Christmas to be born in a manger, to enter his creation, to pursue you, and to die for you. We concluded that we cannot fathom the infinite love of God for his people. As we gather once again in his house, the inspired words of St. Paul, found in our epistle this morning, prove to be a great follow-up to all that we discussed in the season of Christmas. Paul writes, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Needless to say, St. Paul is correct. After all that God has done for us, after all that he has given up for us, a sensible response is to offer ourselves a reasonable, holy, and living sacrifice unto him. To offer such a living sacrifice is to dedicate all that we are, all that we have, and all that we can do to him in humble and grateful remembrance of his amazing grace, his mercies that are new every morning, and his one full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice that saved us all from the punishment that we so justly deserve. Today, let's consider this idea of presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice and ways that we may begin this reasonable service. In our culture, the word sacrifice normally means giving something up. And while this is certainly part of what Paul is referring to in this passage, it's not the entirety of his message. In Paul's day, if a person sacrificed something to God, they were not only giving up something to him that was of great value, they were dedicating that sacrifice to God for a purpose. The purpose was to draw closer to him. The sacrifices that were made in the temple at Jerusalem were made from valuable, spotless domestic animals or food which took a great deal of effort to prepare. People would bring these valuable sacrifices to the temple, have them placed on the altar before God, and by his mercy, they were brought back into a right relationship with him. So, from Paul's perspective, a sacrifice is to take something of your own of great value and give it up. Offer it up to God. Dedicate it to him for the purpose of drawing near to him. Now consider these words inspired by the Holy Spirit once more. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." St. Paul is exhorting us, in view of God's mercy, to offer all that we are to him by placing our very life on his altar. As we offer ourselves to him in sacrifice, we can recognize a distinct difference in what we bring as we compare it to what was brought to the temple in Jerusalem. For we are not dead animals. We are living members of his body. Yet there is a sense in which we die as we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We die to sin. We die to self, that we may live for Christ. This thought is expressed in a letter that St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, where he wrote, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." We can recognize in that verse the way Paul is describing a living sacrifice. He describes himself as being crucified with Christ. He's been sacrificed, yet he lives. And he lives for Christ constantly. Not just for an hour on Sunday morning, but all week. Not just with a tenth of his money, but all of it. Not just with what he feels like offering to God, but all that he is, all that he has, and all that he can do is unconditionally sacrifice to God on a daily basis. Clearly, Paul heard what Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Taking up our cross, especially in this comfortable American culture, isn't easy. And it doesn't feel good, but isn't that the meaning of sacrifice? To take something of your own? Of great value? Even your life? And give it up. Dedicate it to God for the purpose of drawing near to him. In order to dedicate ourselves, our souls, and bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, we'll have to resist the temptations of this world. St. Paul, in our epistle, tells Christians, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In that verse, St. Paul tells us we can't have it both ways. We can't be set apart as holy, living sacrifices to God, and at the same time, model our thoughts, our behavior, or our ambitions after the ways of this world. Lord said it like this: "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." We can't serve both God and the world. Each one of us is given a choice. We can either offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, or we can give ourselves up to the world. In one of my favorite quotes, C.S. Lewis speaks to the consequence of that decision. He said, "Earth, if chosen instead of heaven, will turn out to have been all along a region of hell. And earth, if put second to heaven, to have been from the beginning a part of heaven itself. So choose this day whom you will serve. But remember, eternity, it's only a breath away." In conclusion, consider once again what God has done, because this is the basis of Paul's statement. It's the reason why offering ourselves to him as a living sacrifice is our reasonable response as sensible people. Our Lord, who ruled the universe that he created from his throne in glory, who reigned in majesty so far beyond anything that we can imagine, entered his creation so humbly as a babe born in a manger. The Word of God spoken in creation was made flesh to the end that the world through him might be saved. He manifested his sacrificial love for us in the most brutal way possible, on a cross at Calvary. We've heard the truth of what God has done for us, many of us, for years. We've read these words from St. Paul that call for a reasonable response. Now consider the way that God has honored you and loved you by giving you the freedom of choice. You get to choose whether or not you want to respond to his love. But our Lord made it clear. It's either him or the world. Now, none of us can begin to imagine the price that the Son of God paid for our redemption. Yet he forces that gift of infinite love on no one. And the thought that he would allow us to reject him, the God of the universe, it leaves me wondering, what would hurt more? Suffering and dying on a cross at Calvary for the world that you have fallen madly in love with, or seeing so many people go about their day-to-day business as if they couldn't care less? May we, who have heard the truth of God's love for us, who've heard the good news declared to the world through the blood of his only Son, be those who respond. May it be our daily endeavor to offer to him ourselves, our souls, and bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto him, because this is our reasonable service. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen.